You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football at large for SportingNews.com. So come and check out the site. We've got all your Week 15 wrap-up, Week 16 look-aheads, the early rankings by position. We are looking at the playoff picture to see what reality teams have to accomplish here to get things done here, and can also play a factor in fantasy football to see who's playing full bore and who isn't here in week 16. Championship week has arrived, and on today's show, it's a pickup Tuesday, the penultimate pickup Tuesday for a lot of leagues having their championship games this week. Still a few tweaks you could make, look to improve your team a little bit more for this championship game, and the streaming quarterback game is also a good opportunity here to finish it off in style. But first, here on Locked On Fantasy Football, we'll break down what we saw on Monday Night Football. The Falcons beat the Buccaneers 24-21. The Falcons, as expected, win the game. Maybe just not the way we expected, a little closer. And this takeaway here is that no Tevin Coleman. He was out with a concussion that he suffered there in Week 14 Thursday night against the Saints. Devonta Freeman was the old Devonta Freeman, getting the touches that he kind of has needed for a long time to really explode here. The Kyle Shanahan version came under Steve Sarkisian here, but he was dominant here. Keep in mind, there was no Gerald McCoy on the other side. Levante David was also banged up and out of the lineup. So two major factors against the run, and the Falcons just could control it there. So 22 for 126 and a TD for Freeman, 5 for 68 as well. So Freeman should keep it going against the Saints here in week 16. Coleman could return here, but Freeman, we know that Coleman was hurt against the Saints, and Freeman took off and was very effective in that game as well. So given the way things are and the way Freeman is playing right now, I think you're going to see him be fed pretty regularly here by Steve Sarkisian. And on the downside of things, you didn't have the big game from Julio Jones that you had the first time. You had an incredible game, 253 yards receiving in the first matchup with a couple scores. Only three catches, 54 yards and eight targets. So more of what we've seen with Jones in previous games here that occurred. And with Matt Ryan as well, not needing to throw too much. He's a little bit off in this one, 17 of 31, so not great completion percentage, but had 212 yards and a TD. That went to Justin Hardy early in the game, so we thought he was going to have a bigger game, but it just turned out to be a grind fest here, and there was one play as well as Freeman could have scored again, but instead they had a recovered fumble for a touchdown by Levine Tololo. So that did not help anyone in fantasy because no one has Tololo. It hurt Ryan or Freeman from getting any points in that situation as well. So that was a bit disappointing when you have that occur. But overall, if you had Freeman, you were happy. You've been waiting for a game like this that kind of resembles what he did last year, and you definitely got it here at the most opportune time to explode from scrimmage there in this one. So great, great game by Freeman. I expect that to continue as they try to finish this season the way they did last season. On the other side, you look at Jameis Winston. I think he had his best game of the year. I was watching him. He's making a lot of excellent throws and decisions. No interceptions. So he cut down the turnovers, but 27 of 35, 299 yards and three TDs. So he's had a couple shaky but multiple touchdown games before this, but he comes through with a very clean game, looked very good, spreading the ball around. Mike Evans, of course, when Winston is playing well, you have 5 for 79 and a touchdown for Evans, so one of his better games on 8 targets. Cameron Brate was pretty involved, 4 for 49 on 5 targets, but O.J. Howard, before he had to leave the game with the injury, 1 for 30 and turned it into a touchdown. So Howard still clearly was the guy, but now if Howard has to be out here, which looks likely, Braid is going to take over as that top tight end again. So we'll have to watch that development here. It's a couple matchups in the end this week, particularly against the Panthers. So I think that's good to have this passing game hot in this matchup, because you can throw in the Panthers. So I expect Evans and Braid to be busy, especially with DeSean Jackson also leaving the game with an ankle injury. And he caught his one target for 11 yards. But I could see a lot of Evans, Braid, and Humphrey. So kind of like the throwback to last year with Howard Jackson, the additions for this year gone. It's still a tough matchup. I wouldn't trust everything, but Humphreys at least is back on the radar in PPR with 5 catches, 43 yards, and TD caught all of his targets. So very efficient day for Winston and his receivers, should say Knight, but that was a good development regardless. Winston also had 18 yards rushing in this one. So we could see a very simplified offense, and that could be good for Evans and Brate and Humphreys to produce here. Against the Panthers, they're going to try to do some things here to finish their season on the high note. Really fought a good division opponent here, so figure that's going to be the same from the Bucks to close out the season against the Panthers and the Saints. In the backfield, the story was Doug Martin was scratched for a team rules violation. Really, Doug Martin can be scratched for anything at this point by Dirk Cutter, but it was Peyton Barber taking over. It wasn't a great game for Barber in that role either. 16 touches there for 68 yards. So the Falcons were in control of this game, so the Bucks kind of had to abandon the run and really kind of spread the ball out. It was a good game by Winston. So in a way, Ryan was hurt production-wise by Freeman being so good, and Winston was helped by the running game with Barber not being that effective at all in his production. So you can't really look at Barber against the Panthers. The Panthers are playing excellent run defense right now. But if you're desperate and you think that Martin's going to be out again, and potentially, we know he's been doghoused before by this team, pretty clear, you can't ignore a guy that's going to get a lot of touches out of the backfield. And that's notable because you really didn't see much of Charles Sims in this one. 4 catches for 6 yards, so he was a blip on the radar. And really, Jaquizz Rodgers is not even in this mix anymore in this backfield. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of that game. And make sure you're checking out all the great podcasts on the Locked On NFL Network. We got Locked On Falcons, Locked On Buccaneers, your show, your kind of a beat report for your team, Progressive, throughout the week with daily podcasts, features, interviews, everything you want to know about your team, inside analysis, all there for you on the Locked On NFL Network. It doesn't matter if you follow Atlanta or Tampa Bay or San Francisco or Arizona, we've got you covered on the network, and everyone does a great job across the board. And this is a great time to hear it with teams headed to the playoffs, and other teams are looking ahead to draft plans in 2018. So time to break down the waiver wire, and I mentioned Barber a little bit. He's on the radar, but I doubt that Doug Martin will be sitting there. That's the latest news. So I think I put him on the back burner. There's really not too much to pick up there this week. I think you look at Chris Ivory and Leonard Fournette, that situation with Fournette with the quadriceps. They expect Fournette to return this week and play against the 49ers. The 49ers have played better defense against the run of late, so I wouldn't be trusting too much into Ivory or Yeldon after disappointing games there combined against the Texans. The 49ers are pretty good against the run right now, but if Fournette's in there, you're definitely going that way. That said, I'll say the running back that I like to pick up this week is Kerwin Williams of the Cardinals. I mentioned him last week as a pickup because Adrian Peterson was iffy, but since then, Adrian Peterson's put on IR. I know they've tried to mix in some Elisha Penny in there in the backfield, and he's been effective, but the Giants are coming to town in Arizona. The Giants are not a very good road team in general, so Williams and the Cardinals should be in better game flow. Drew Stanton is starting for the Cardinals, so maybe a little bit more competence in the passing game. Weird to say, but Stanton might be an upgrade at this point over Blaine Gabbert. You're not going to get maybe the same mobility that you get with Stanton, but you're going to get at least a guy maybe that's going to open up the passing game a little bit to help Williams run, and the Giants matchup is definitely worthy of that. And don't be disheartened either if Mike Davis is disappointing here. I mean, the Seahawks really were all terrible against the Rams. And Davis, I thought I had a chance to do something in that game, but maybe someone's dropped him or still available and people were very skeptical about him. But this matchup against the Cowboys is pretty darn good. You can run on the Cowboys. I expect there to be some scoring in this game. Maybe Davis shot at a short touchdown against the Cowboys. I know they've been playing better defense of late, but still gave up some good yardage to Marshawn Lynch on Sunday Night Football. So Davis, similar type runner, maybe getting the ball there in scoring position. So I think Davis could rebound pretty well. So if someone has dropped him and you're really needing an RB2 or flex play in a deep league and in your championship game, Davis is worth another look this week. And there's an injury that did develop in Detroit with Theo Riddick getting hurt. We know that Amir Abdullah was active for that game against Chicago with his neck injury returning, but Teon Green had to fill in again a little bit more, get a few more touches with Riddick being sidelined. And we know that they wanted to look longer at Green there with Jim Caldwell on his coaching staff. It's a pretty good spot against the Bengals, who are just really beat up in their run defense. We don't know if Vontaze Burfict and Nick Vigil and Kevin Minter are all going to come back for the Bengals. So Teon Green, if he has to step into a bigger role, I think they would expand it a little bit in this game, and you can definitely look to them there. Now, Blake Bortles, given his hot streak late in the season as we transition to quarterbacks here out of running backs, not much there to see with running backs, as I said, with not too much changing and even some handcuffs such as James Conner getting hurt. But when you look at Bortles, he pretty much has to be owned now everywhere. I mean, the matchups to close the season, if you're playing through Week 17, are fantastic. He's on a three-game hot streak. He had the multiple touchdowns there going for him, and then he just lit up the Texans there. And even in a game where they were playing from well ahead, made some big plays connecting with his receivers, and he didn't even have Marquise Lee, so keep that in mind. Marquise Lee got hurt. He's not going to be available anymore, but it didn't really matter because Keelan Cole was a big play guy, and Jaden Mickens was a good red zone slot guy the way Alan Hearns was. And then you had D.D. Westbrook really didn't even do much in that game, only a couple catches there for Westbrook. So you look at this matchup against the 49ers, you can still throw on them. We saw Marcus Mariota, who's been pretty bad of late, still get to two touchdowns and 230. So the momentum is there for Bortles. Like I mentioned, the 49ers are a little better against the run than you think with Fournette even possible return. So that could hurt maybe the touchdown potential of Bortles in the red zone with Fournette there. But keep in mind, he still put up big numbers with Tommy Bohannon punching it in from a short yardage there at the goal line against the Texans last week. So when you look at Bortles, everything lines up pretty well. Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers can move the ball as well. I know it's going to be a little bit tougher for those 49ers with the Jaguars defense on the other side, but Garoppolo seemed to play pretty well in tough situations. So Bortles will probably have to put it up a little bit as well to win this game and make sure the Jaguars win the AFC South. I really can say to go back to the Joe Flacco well again. It's another brilliant matchup here at home against the Colts. Really came through against the Browns. It took a rushing touchdown, but you'll take it anywhere you can get it. And Flacco, this offense is just clicking right now overall. Alex Collins was bottled up a little bit by that Browns defense. I think that's one concern you might have in this game, that Collins could easily get going here, and they just run, and go all over the Colts with not much game flow in Flacco's favor, but Flacco's flavor could be still pretty good in this game with a chance for a couple scores. We know off play action, you can throw to Benjamin Watson. I think basically the Ravens can do whatever they want against the Colts offensively, and that could lead up to big points where everyone gets theirs, including Collins and Flacco. So not a bad spot at all. And Nick Foles, it's funny, you were looking for a Carson Wentz replacement. If you just got a Nick Foles, he would have pretty much got the same production. He had four TDs against the Giants. It's another beautiful matchup against the Raiders at home. So that secondary is terrible. And you might recall that Nick Foles, in his previous stint with Philadelphia, had a 7-touchdown game in Oakland against Raiders. I know the teams are different and all that, but good memories and good vibes for Foles. And you know that was four seasons ago, but man, this is a great spot for him again after the four scores. The Eagles still have to play here to lock up home field advantage in the NFC playoffs. There, they already have the first round bye in the NFC East Championship, but you're looking at DeFoles going to be dealing. And again, another game where I think with the Raiders kind of on life support for the playoff picture, that the Eagles will kind of take it to them in a cross-country game. And I think running, passing-wise, the Eagles can do whatever they want, similar to the Ravens against the Colts in this one, and you go there. Another guy, if you're going deep and you're really going down the streaming rabbit hole and you're a deep league and all those three guys got snatched up last week, Mitchell Trubisky, he's at home against the Browns defense. It's his hometown team. The Browns chose not to go there with him at quarterback and went with Myles Garrett. Didn't try to make a move on him at all. So maybe a little bit of a chip on his shoulder in this one. His hometown team didn't want to draft him there. DeShone Kizer on the other side has really been struggling, so I wouldn't trust Kizer on the road. That situation, even though he's closer to where he played college ball at Notre Dame. But the homecoming factor and revenge is definitely there for Trubisky. And, oh, yeah, the Browns are not very good in covering the pass. And we know that Trubisky has really spread it around well as well. So there's no true number one. So there's no, like, concern there with Jason McCourty taking away anyone. And we'll see if Adam Shaheen returns. That would be big because we know the Browns have really struggled against the tight end. But Mitchell Trubisky is definitely a guy you can look at. I think you could see him being opened up in the offense. His team tends to overcorrect and go back and forth with what they do, but I think it's not going to be so easy for Jordan Howard against this pretty good Browns run defense. So they're going to have to put it up a little bit, dink and dunk with Trubisky, maybe some take some chances against the Browns secondary, and that's going to lead to some good sneaky production there. And a very sneaky pivot DFS tournament play as well with Trubisky in that one. Now, we talked a lot about Trubisky and DeShone Kizer, two of the top quarterbacks taken in this draft, as well as Deshaun Watson of the Texans. But how about next year's crop of quarterbacks coming into the league? Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, some big, big names in college football there. Going to be entering the fray, will be drafted somewhere here in 2018. And we know that rookies have suddenly had some good value. So Locked On NFL Draft is your source to know about those guys right now. Do some advanced scouting for fantasy football. Listen to that show hosted by Joe Ledyard and Trevor Sycamore. They do a great job looking ahead to the future of the NFL and really have had a jump start on looking at these guys before Senior Bowl time and the combine and all that. They'll guide you through all that and come down to what happens in April. You'll know these guys at quarterback, backward and forward. So can't wait until these guys enter the NFL and can start producing. And the best way to know about those guys now is with the Locked On NFL Draft show. Now, as we move on to a wide receiver here for some help, you look at Martavis Bryant, and clearly that's the place to start here for sure. He's still owned everywhere because he's Martavis Bryant and we have fascination with him, but definitely he is taking over as the number one outside receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster is also going to be a big factor, obviously, with Antonio Brown out for the rest of the regular season with a calf injury. But what a matchup. Bryant steps in. He can really torch this Texans secondary that just got destroyed by the limited receivers of the Jaguars. Keep in mind, Keelan Cole and Jaden Mickens went off, so you could see Bryant and Smith-Schuster doing the same thing to the Texans secondary this week. The Steelers still have to play for things. The Jaguars are right behind them, so they want to make sure they get that number two seed, maybe have an outside shot if the Patriots somehow lose to the Bills to get the number one seed. So definitely the Steelers will be motivated. Comes down to really what the Jaguars do, because the Steelers do play after everyone else here on Christmas Day here, so everyone else would have been in the books, so they'll have some indication. But assuming the Jaguars beat the 49ers, the Steelers will still be kind of locked into that one, and expect them to want to tune up as well with without Brown to make sure that these guys are playing well. So Bryant, love that matchup against the Texans. You can plug him and play him right away. Smith-Schuster, an excellent play as well. But figured that he's owned in a lot of leagues. Bryant's still available in a lot of leagues. Now, we have to look at Mike Wallace as well. I recommended him. There's a potential sneaky stack with Joe Flacco and Benjamin Watson there. Didn't really come through with a touchdown, but still a very solid game, over 80 yards receiving there for Wallace. And we know that the Colts pretty much can't stop anything. The secondary is down with their best corner of the season, Rashawn Melvin. He's had a hand injury, so nobody really to take away Wallace. Wallace is clearly the number one receiver here, as well as Benjamin Watson at tight end. These are the two targets that Flacco is going to look to most to help his production here. We saw that last week. So Mike Wallace, there's no real chasing of box score here because I think he can actually do better in this matchup. So a lot of questions about where you go with the Jaguars without Marquise Lee down for the rest of the regular season. He adds to Allen Hurns on the shelf, and Allen Robinson has been long gone with that torn ACL. So these two guys, Cole and Westbrook, have been seeing a lot of targets of late. I think Mickens is more of a product of just a horrendous secondary that could be beat by anyone. But the 49ers, we've seen primary receivers are more their issue. So we saw Rashard Matthews score there. So I would go lean toward more toward Westbrook. Don't chase where Cole is. Westbrook is still, to me, the number one de facto there without Robinson, Hurns, and Lee in the lineup. He's more versatile. He's just a better talent than Cole is overall. So I don't see Cole necessarily running free the same way. And so chasing that won't help. Don't be too disappointed in Westbrook. If someone drops Westbrook, I go in on him over Cole in this one for sure. So if you're thinking about Mickens at all, I think that's just a product of two short touchdowns, very Benny Fowler-like performance there, kind of random short scores, Adam Humphries type. So I don't really like going that deep. I want guys that are on the field that are going to get consistent looks. And Westbrook just wasn't needed too much with Cole just streaking downfield. I think they'll be needed a little bit more in a possession game this week to help Blake Bortles, and I expect he has a good shot to score a touchdown again this time around. Now, Kendall Wright, I mentioned Mitchell Trubisky, and if you look in recent weeks, and Dontrell Inman came on strong early, but now it's been a lot of slot and conservative throws as this Bears offense has gone to a shell. Wright has come through with two solid games in a row in PPR. He can move around, and the Browns could really struggle in the slot to cover that, so that helps Wright and his value here. It could be a little bit tough sledding for Dontrell Inman or any of the outside receivers such as Josh Bellamy, but if Adam Shaheen returns from his chest injury in this one and has had an extra day to recover from it, I would expect Trubisky to be effective and Wright and Shaheen in the middle of the field to work it. So Wright does have some value, especially if you're deep league PPR. If you're hurting for one spot, maybe you lost Antonio Brown and you need a replacement there, or Marquise Lee and you need a replacement there. So a couple of wide receiver injuries opening things up for some pickups, and there is always help if you're struggling with injuries, even so late in the season, even with high-level studs. Now, we look at tight end, and I have to start with Eric Ebron. He's been on fire. You look at this passing game, he's been involved more consistently. I know Kenny Golladay, we've been fascinated with him. It's been a long time since that Week 1 breakout performance, but Ebron is just balling out right now. He's everywhere. He's being trusted by Matthew Stafford. He's doing the little things right. And you look at this matchup against the Bengals, they are just being destroyed there in the linebacker core. They have some safety issues as well inside coverage there. And we know Kyle Rudolph scored on this defense, even with a banged up ankle, was able to get in the end zone. So Ebron is a very good bet to score in this one. And the other guy that I'm really impressed with coming back from his work there with the knee injury is Charles Clay, especially with Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy in the groove now, back in the old school Buffalo offense from what we've seen in games and years past, that Charles Clay is locked in there as well. So there's not too much to reach for at tight end there, but Ebron somehow still continually just kind of undervalued and underowned, and part of it was the inconsistency, and we never know when he's going to do anything, but there's been some good signs that he's a consistent part of this offense of late and at a perfect time. And Clay, we know, with the Kelvin Benjamin banged up, that Clay is still the number one option there. In the past game, really co-number one with the LeSean McCoy for Taylor in Buffalo. Now, as we go to defense and special teams, you look at the Redskins, a solid game against the Cardinals last week. Last call for them, if you weren't able to pick them up last week or they kind of were floating out there, I think the matchup is even better this week at home against the Broncos. Getting Brock Osweiler, team probably in Denver that is overextended itself to finish well here in the past 2 weeks. The Redskins could be an audition for Kirk Cousins on the other side of things. So I think the Redskins, as much as they can pound the Broncos, actually will maybe push Kirk Cousins toward them. So that's kind of a funny twist in this game. But the Redskins here, you got to look at them. And if you're playing into week 17, keep in mind they're playing the Giants there as well. So the Redskins do have some good value here. They were solid last week against the Cardinals, and I think they could actually be even better this week against the Broncos at home, which is always helpful for a defense. That's the same case for the Chicago Bears. I mean, again, this is a weird stack week, but you could do quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, defense, weird stack onslaught with the Chicago Bears. Go figure in week 16, but they are playing the Browns. We know Trubisky is on one side and Kaiser's on the other, so there's going to be some turnover potential there. You could look at the Browns as well. They do have a few playmakers, but I think the Bears overall have better defense and they're playing at home. So there's a excellent streamer for you this week. And in some cases, I think you could look at the Panthers being available just because of the matchups they've had against the Vikings and Packers. People might have stayed away, but man, they've come through big time against two very good offenses. Get the Buccaneers this week. I'm a little wary of them. I'm cooling off on them. The way the Bucs played with Jameis Winston protecting the ball, but we know that turnover issues can pop up, and the Panthers are suddenly forcing those turnovers and getting to the quarterback. So they got a lot of hits on Aaron Rodgers. I think they can get to Winston as well this week. So better playmaking defense is coming through for you for sure at this stage of season. If people have also faded the Lions here after a couple bad games, this is a good time to fire them up against the Bengals. Bengals are just looking terrible right now, and the Lions haven't done too much. Did have a good, solid reality game against the Bears, but a chance to finish strong there against the Bengals in the fantasy playoffs in week 16. So there you have it. There's another Pickup Tuesday in the books, the last one really of the fantasy football playoff realm. We'll go next week if you're playing in week 17 or DFS, kind of have a hybrid show there where you can look at deep values across the board at positions to help your team if you're playing in week 17, or maybe sleep into a daily fantasy if they can help you in that regard as well. So we'll come back tomorrow with Draft Wednesday, which is also Matchup Wednesday for Week 16, breaking down all the games on the schedule for this weekend. It's all Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this week, so keep that in mind as well. No Thursday games, and we'll break all those games down for you on Matchup Wednesday, Draft Wednesday. I'll set up that draft and send out the link for you, but we'll probably do it at the normal time there, and more details on that on the show on Wednesday. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.